The Mishnah at the end of the fifth parak, Maseches Avos, quoting Yehuda ben Tema, says the following thing. Havei oz kanamer, be bold as a leopard. Kal kanesher, light as an eagle. Ratz katzvi, swift as a deer. Vigibur kari, and strong like a lion. Lasos ritzon avicha shebashamayim, to do the will of your Father in heaven. Thus we see Chazal were able to teach us and to learn lessons from the animal kingdom. But besides for these four animals, there's the fifth animal that Chazal, Mefarshim, Rishonim, and Achronim learn multiple lessons from, and that is the Tzfardeya, the second of the Eser Makos, the frogs, that there's so much to learn from them. Let's take a careful look and share three particular lessons that we can learn from the Tzfardoim, from the frogs. As the Makkah began, the Torah tells us, Perek Ches, Posuk Beis, Vatal HaTzfardeya, the frog, in singular, emerged. Vatechases Eretz Mitzrayim, and covered up the entire land of Egypt. But if you read the pasuk carefully, it says that one frog emerged and covered the entire land of Egypt. How could one frog cover the entire land? Is it possible that one frog could reap such terrible damage? Is that feasible? Is that possible? Says Rashi, indeed. Tzfardeya achas haisa, was one frog. V'hayu makinos, and the Mitzrim would hit it. V'himatezes nechilim nechilim, and from one singular frog emerged tens, hundreds, thousands upon thousands of frogs. And asks the Stipler going in a Sefer Birchas Peretz and Parshas Vayera, how could it be that the Mitzrim didn't catch their mistake? Didn't they realize that when they hit it, more and more would come? Why didn't they simply stop or stop each other? Tell one to the other, stop hitting the Tzfardeya and more Tzfardim won't come. And explains the Stipler that this is the power of anger. When an individual is so angry, you're aware cognitively, you're aware emotionally, you're aware mentally. But anger is such a powerful trait that it doesn't allow you to think, to stop, and hone in on what you're doing. And thus, although the Mitzvah were well aware that when they hit it, more and more would come, they couldn't control themselves and hold themselves back. And thus, from that one singular Tzfardeya, Vatechatz, it covered all of the land of Egypt. And the Ramban tells his son Nachman, in his famous Igeres HaRamban, the letter that he wrote to his son before emigrating to Eretz Yisrael, watch out for the mida called kas, shehi mida ro'o lahachti b'nei adam. It's such a dangerous, slippery slope, this thing called anger, that it could cause you to sin. Watch out, be careful. At the root of so many issues and problems lies anger. And you don't have to look further than Moshe Rabbeinu. Rashi and Sefer B'Midbar points out that Moshe Rabbeinu erred three times. Most famously, the chait of Mei Meriva when he hit the rock. Rashi, the Rambam, and Mor Nevuchim explained that the ultimate sin of Moshe Rabbeinu at the rock wasn't that he hit it, but it's that he screamed and raised his voice and told Bnei Yisrael, Shimu Nahamorim, listen, you rebels. And that's what caused him to sin. And Rashi brings two other examples where Moshe Rabbeinu sinned, all as a result of anger. Because when you're angry, you sin. When you're angry, you make mistakes. And we have to watch ourselves and be careful. And that's why the Mishnah tells us in Avos, we have to be kasha lichos, v'noach lirtzotz, a chassid, somebody who's pious, is careful not to anger. Because that's what we say in the Yud Gimel Midos of Rachmim HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, kasha lichos, is slow to anger. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is rachum v'chanun, is merciful. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is careful and is slow to anger. Erech apayim. And therefore we too have to be slow to anger. But how do we catch ourselves in an angry moment? One etza, one way to think about it is to note, before you get angry, is it something that it's valuable to be angry about a year from now? If the answer to that question is no, then you don't get angry. If it's something that you could honestly say to yourself that I'm going to get angry at this person or this incident or this situation, and I know in a year from now I'll be satisfied by what I said or wrote, then maybe there's room to be angry. But think long and hard if in a week or in a few days I will be angry and upset that I got angry, then don't be angry. This is a lesson that we learn from the frogs in anger management. Watch out, be careful, because it's only once for a day, it's not so bad. But if you're really quick and you're not thinking, ultimately frogs will emerge and emerge and emerge, and thus Chazal teach us, be careful with a midah called anger. Lesson number one that we learn from the frogs. But lesson number two, it's a Gemara Maseches Psachim Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis that we learn from Turdus Ish Romi, who says that the great prophets Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah, who were charged by Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Babel, to bow down to an idol, and Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah turned to Daniel and asked Daniel, "What should we do?" Daniel said, "I don't know." Asked Yecheskel, and Yecheskel also said, "I'm not sure what to tell you." So Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah, before Daniel responded, before Yecheskel responded, they said that it's our responsibility and chiyuv to bow down to this idol. But how did they know? Daniel didn't tell them. Yecheskel didn't tell them. The Gemara in Psachim, Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, says that Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah lamdu kal v'chomer mit tzvardeya. They learned something from the tzvardeya, the frogs in our parsha. What did they learn? Says Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah, if the frogs were not commanded in the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem to sanctify and to sacrifice their lives of Kiddush Hashem, went into the Tanurim, into the Kivshan Ha'esh, and gave up their lives, then we certainly, who are commanded in the mitzvah of Hashem, to give up our lives, not to bow down to an idol, if the frogs could do it when they're not commanded, we certainly should make sure to do that. Asks the Shagas Aryeh, the Kal V'chomer, it's not true. Absolutely, positively, that Tzvardayim were commanded. The Pasuk says, V'olu uvo bebeisecha, ubechadu mishkavecha, v'amitasecha bebeisavadecha, v'amecha v'tanarecha b'misharosecha. They were commanded, V'olu uvo, they should go in. So the Kal V'chomer is not the logical Kal V'chomer. They were absolutely commanded. So how could Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah say that the frogs who were not commanded, they gave up their lives? But we who are commanded, certainly we should give up our lives. It's not true that Tzvardayim were absolutely commanded. The Vilna Gaon at the age of 7 answered this question. And it's quoted in the Sefer Mipnim Mishulchan Agra Dov Eliach, who wrote the following thing, Mipi Ashmua, from the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon said they were commanded. They just weren't commanded where to go. They could have gone anywhere. They certainly were commanded to absolutely go to these different places. But not all the tzvardayim, not all the frogs were commanded to go betanurecha. Some could have gone to chadar mishkavecha. Some could have gone to the bedrooms. Some could have gone bebeisecha to the homes. Some could have gone mitasecha into the beds. Some could have gone bebeisavadecha into the homes of the servants. But each of the frogs turned to each other and said, "We're going to go all into the Kivshan. We're all going to go into the flame, into the fiery furnace, into the ovens." When they could have looked the other way, they could have gone into any of the other places. But they were all willing to sacrifice their lives. Says Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah, if all the Tzvardayim weren't all commanded to go in the oven, and they were all willing to go to give up their lives, then we certainly, who are not commanded, we absolutely should make sure to go to give up our lives al kiddush Hashem. Thus, we learn the Kal V'chomer halacha lemaisa from Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah, from the Tzvardeya. And thus, what emerges from the Vilna Gaon's pshat in the Kal V'chomer is that self-sacrifice means that I do something even when I'm not commanded. That's what Kiddush Hashem is. That's what Mesiras Nefesh is. We're commanded to daven, to go to shul. But are we commanded to come 10, 15 minutes early to be prepared to daven? We're commanded to go to shul, but are we absolutely required to stay longer to make sure to learn something? We're all commanded the mitzvah of tzedakah and chesed. But are we commanded to go running around and knocking on doors and looking how we could help? That's Mesiras Nefesh, that's Kiddush Hashem, when we're doing something we're not required to do, and that we learn from the Tzvardeya. The Tzvardeyim could have all gone to different places. They didn't have to go into Tanurecha, they didn't all have to go into the oven. There were many places to go, but they were all willing to go into the Tanur, and because they were willing to do something they were not commanded to do, from here, said Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah, we absolutely should go above and beyond the letter of the law. Thus, from the Tzvardayim, we learn self-sacrifice and the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, Mesiras Nefesh, pushing ourselves beyond our limits. But there's a third lesson that we learn from the Tzvardaya. At the end of the Makkah, the Torah tells us, Vayar Paro, Paro Sor Ki Haisa Harvacha, that he had a relief, a reprieve, a break. V'hachbed es libo v'lo sham alem. And then he hardened his heart. Asks the Klei Yakar on this pasuk that this is an anomaly in all of the other nine makos. It never says ki haisa harvacha, that Paro had a reprieve, a break, a time to breathe and relax. Why dafka? In Makas Tzfardeas does the Torah tell us that Paro had harvacha, he received relief. And explains the Klei Yakar on each of the other nine makos, when they came to a cessation and a termination, they stopped, it was immediate. But the Mak of Tzfardeah was different. There were remnants of the Tzfardeah, piles and piles, stench and odor and smell left behind from the dead Tzfardeim. But says the Klei Yakar, that stench and that odor, that foul smell was only in the city, only where people were jam-packed together. But Paro in his palace, in the palace of the king, high above in the mountains, and had the mountain air of Egypt, he didn't have that problem. Thus, Vayar Paro, Paro soki haisar vache. He personally had a break. And as long as he was okay, then Vahach bedes libo, he was willing to harden his heart. His countrymen, his citizens, his people were suffering. They were engrossed by that smell and the stench and the odor. It was overwhelming. But Paro, he was comfortable. As long as he was okay, it didn't bother him that the rest of the country was suffering mightily. And says the Klei Yakar that he didn't care about others. He couldn't even imagine be sympathetic and empathetic to others. The fact that everybody else was in pain, that's their issue, that's their problem. As long as I'm okay, I'm willing to fight you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. From here you see that Paro had no empathy, had no ability to be no say ba'olim chaveiro, to feel the pain of his brothers. And thus from here we see the importance of caring for other people, and it's dafka here that's Paro's downfall. Because Rashi reports to us early in Parsha Shmos, that he allowed Moshe and Aaron, all of Shevet Levi, Yotzim Ubaim Shalobrishos, they would come and go as they pleased. They weren't part of the Shibud. Shevet Levi was free to travel. Moshe and Aaron would go in and out of the kingdom, and they were not forced to do labor and to do work. And ask them aforeshim, why would Paro do that? He should enslave and subjugate Moshe and Aaron more than anybody else. How come he let them go in freely? He knew the Savior. He knew through his astrologers that Moshe and Aaron and Shevet Levi from there would emerge the Savior and the leader of the Jewish people. How come he simply let them go and come? Listen to Rabbi Yonason Eibshitz says in Tiferes Yonason here. He says that Paro couldn't imagine and understand that somebody who is free like him could care about somebody else. And if he allowed Shevet Levi to be free of subjugation, free of slavery, free of the pain and the suffering of the gullus, then the people would have no savior, because as long as Moshe and Aaron were free on their own, the Jewish people were guaranteed that they would never find salvation. Because how can it be that somebody that's not part of the Shibud would really care about Klal Yisrael? And little did he know that Moshe Rabbeinu was just the opposite, pumfav keret, as the pasuk says, nasan ein of libo lios meitzer aleim, says Rashi, that Moshe went above and beyond. He looked to help the people. Even though he was in such pain and such suffering and such struggles and such difficulties, he went above and beyond and worked as hard as he could to make himself feel the pain and the suffering of the people. And ultimately, the Klal Yisrael found their leader were victorious because Moshe Rabbeinu had that quality called empathy, care, and made sure that he was no se ba'olim chaveiro. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, when there was a fire in the city of Brisk and much of the city burnt down, including many homes, and people were left without beds to sleep and homes in. Reb Chaim's house wasn't burnt down, but do you know what Reb Chaim did? He wouldn't sleep in his bed, he wouldn't sleep at home, he went to the Beis Medrash, because how could he sleep in his comfortable bed when many of his people in his city didn't have a bed to sleep in? How do we feel when we're okay? And when others aren't, do we look out for others? Do we care about people? Are we empathetic? Are we no se b'olim chaveiro? Just because I got a vaccine doesn't mean that others did. We have to think about other people. And that means to be no se b'olim chaveiro, to be empathetic, caring, and careful about others. Thus, the frogs teach us three critical lessons. Lesson number one, anger management. The pshat of the Birchas Peretz, that from one tzfardeya comes hundreds and thousands of tzfardeim. If you're not careful, anger can get the best of you. Number two is Mesiras Nefesh, self-sacrifice. That even though you're not required to do something just like the frogs were not required to all jump into the oven, they were willing and prepared to do so. And thus, Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah were willing to do so as well, to give up their lives. Al-Kiddush Hashem. And finally, number three, empathy, care, concern, compassion. No se ba'olim chavero. Even though I don't have a difficult situation, make sure that you're thinking about others. Paro didn't have that midah. Moshe Rabbeinu did have that midah. Let's think and look and make sure that we're learning from everything, including animals, including the world, the cosmos around us. We can learn from the Namer, from the Nesher. We can learn from the Tzvi. We can learn from the Aryeh. And we can learn from the Tzvardeya as well. May we be zocha to be constant learners and be able to learn continuously, control our anger, be people who self-sacrifice, and ultimately be people who are empathetic. Wishing you a wonderful, good Shabbos.